Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. USDA Wildlife Division institutes temporary ban on cyanide traps on federal land in Idaho. Moscow Council to consider banning street vendors near Saturday Farmers Market. And federal investigators to look into WSU's handling of a sexual assault allegation. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The U.S. Education Department's Office for Civil Rights will investigate how Washington State University officials handled a sexual assault and harassment case. The Spokesman Review reports documents published by the Chronicle of Higher Education say the case stems from a female student who said she was denied a prompt and equitable grievance process and faced retaliation from the university after she reported that she had been sexually assaulted by another student in 2015. WSU spokesperson Rob Strange said in an email, university officials believe they fully complied with the law in the case, but they will work with the Office of Civil Rights to make any recommended improvements. The investigation comes at a time when several drugging and sexual assault claims have been made by female students, mostly last year. WSU is currently working on writing reforms to the school's student conduct policies after a state appellate court judge ruled student conduct board actions last fall against a football player were inadequate. Washington State University, as well as the University of Idaho, are among the 55 universities nationwide being investigated by the Education Department's Office of Civil Rights for Title IX violations. Those investigations were announced in May 2014. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services Division has temporarily stopped the use of cyanide traps in the state of Idaho. The decision comes after a 14-year-old boy was sickened and his Labrador Retriever died last month when the dog released cyanide from a trap called an M44. The trap went off on federally owned land near the boy's home on the outskirts of Pocatello. According to a letter from the USDA to the state of Idaho, the halt affects all state, federal, and private lands. The department's order was in response to a petition from 19 conservation and wildlife groups, including the Western Watersheds Project. Western Watersheds Project Executive Director Eric Mulvar said, "We are pleased with their response today, but our satisfaction is dimmed slightly that this ban might not be permanent." Father Mark Mansfield says his son now suffers from headaches from the March 16th cyanide exposure. Mansfield said he met with U.S. Representative Mike Simpson's staff to discuss a possible national ban on the cyanide-releasing traps. Mansfield said, "This is a good first step, but let's keep going. We've seen these types of moratoriums in the past, and the federal government keeps bringing them back. The kids in Arizona deserve just as much protection as the kids in Idaho." A national push to ban M44s has begun. Groups who petition to discontinue the use of the devices will be given 30 days' notice in advance if authorities decide to restart the use of cyanide traps. U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services Division Regional Director Jason Suckow said, "We take seriously the incident in Idaho, which involved the unintentional activation of a small spring-loaded device. The M44s have been used to kill around 12,500 coyotes, mostly in western states, last year. However, during the past 20 years, the M44s have killed over 40 dogs and injured some people as well." Suckow said the USDA plans to begin a review of protocols and operating procedures on the use of cyanide traps. Democratic Oregon Governor Kate Brown is expected to sign a bill passed by the legislature yesterday that would require cannabis retailers to destroy any customer data collected by the stores. The law is an effort to prevent federal agents from incriminating marijuana users under any change in Justice Department policy under Trump administration Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has voiced his opposition to marijuana. Pullman Police Chief Gary Jenkins said yesterday, generally there has been favorable acceptance from residents of the proposed new all-terrain vehicle ordinance. Daily News reports only two residents testified about the proposed ordinance at yesterday's Police Advisory Committee meeting. Both people, Larry and Cheryl Morgan, testified they favor the new ordinance. Larry Morgan testified over the past year he's been active bringing attention to current city rules against all-terrain vehicles on city streets. Morgan said he believes county governments should have authority over ATVs. He said, "We're a completely different area over here than we are on the west side of the state." Current Pullman ordinance says it is illegal to operate an all-terrain vehicle on Pullman streets. If passed, the new ordinance would limit ATVs on Pullman streets to a maximum speed of 35 miles per hour, require operators and passengers to wear protective headgear in certain situations, require the vehicles be registered with the Department of Motor Vehicles, and require headlights, tail and brake lights, reflectors, turn signals, mirrors, windshields, horns, spark arresters, and mufflers. Police Chief Jenkins said committee members have some concerns despite the lack of negative feedback. Committee member and Associated Students of Washington State University Senator Matthew Morrow said he has heard concerns about the new ordinance from students who tell him there is a risk of allowing students to drive all-terrain vehicles on city streets, but the requirements written into the ordinance will ease some of their concerns. Jenkins said no date has been set for a formal vote by the city council on the ordinance. The Pullman City Council tonight will vote on a resolution pre-authorizing the acceptance of U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program grant money for multiple Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport projects supporting the relocation of the airport's main runway. The Pullman City Council will also vote on a resolution setting a date for a public hearing to consider and discuss an application to the Federal Transit Administration, which would allow Pullman Transit to provide school bus service within the city limits beginning with the 2017 to 2018 school year. The City Council will also be asked to vote on a resolution setting a date for a public hearing to consider a Pullman Transit fare increase set to begin August 21st. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee advanced an ordinance yesterday that would create a distinct separation between Saturday farmers market vendors and those that operate near the farmers market but are not part of the market. Under the city's vendors ordinance, those approved to vend in the public rights of way are not permitted to conduct business within the boundaries of the farmers market unless they are a farmers market vendor. City staff has requested the council amend the vendors ordinance after seeing a number of vending operations within close proximity of the farmers market boundary and creating the appearance of being part of the farmers market. Here's Moscow City Attorney Rod Hall explaining the proposed ordinance at Monday's Public Works Committee meeting.
What has been happening over the last few years since the city has moved the farmers market to downtown is some sidewalk vendors who haven't or were not able to qualify or chose not to participate in the farmers market have been setting up their vendors right next to the boundaries of the farmers market, creating an appearance that they are part of the farmers market. And the farmers market goes out of its way, and some of its rules and regulations get people in to keep the integrity of the farmers market intact so it qualifies as a true farmers market. This proposed amendment would prohibit sidewalk vendors from being within 200 feet of the farmers market during the farmers market hours. So it actually kind of create kind of a separation so that they would be distinct, the farmers market would be distinct from any other vendors in the downtown area.
That was Moscow City Attorney Rod Hall speaking at yesterday's Moscow City Council Public Works Finance Committee meeting. Public Works Committee Chair Jim Boland said he was in favor of the ordinance. Here's Boland in an exchange with City Supervisor Gary Reedner at yesterday's meeting.
I'm in favor of this. I think it keeps the integrity of the farmer's market a little more well-defined, and people aren't crowding in and they just don't want to pay the farmer's market fee and set up across the street from it. So I'm in favor of it. I think we can put it on the consent agenda.
The regular agenda. It's an ordinance.
Oh, yeah, it is an ordinance. Right. You're correct.
That was Moscow City Councilmember Jim Boland. You also heard briefly from City Supervisor Gary Reedner in that clip. The proposal for separating farmers market vendors from those who have been on the edge of the farmers market border will be on the regular agenda for next Monday night's City Council meeting. The Washington State Patrol said in a news release a collision between a pickup truck and a semi-trailer occurred yesterday near Colfax. 27-year-old Christopher DeWolf of Athol, Idaho, was driving a semi-truck northbound on U.S. Highway 195, about 5 miles north of Colfax, when he was forced across the center line to avoid colliding with a vehicle stopped in a turn lane. Trucker swerved into the ditch on the south side of the highway where he collided with a 2013 Toyota Tundra driven by 76-year-old Paul Bilderback of Colfax. The Washington State Patrol says DeWolf faces charges of negligent driving and failure to wear a seatbelt. DeWolf was uninjured. Bilderback was taken to Whitman Community Hospital in Colfax with undisclosed injuries. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There is a 60% chance of rain tonight, mainly after 2 a.m., otherwise cloudy, low 42. 70% chance of rain tomorrow, cloudy, high 52. East winds 5 to 15, becoming south in the afternoon with gusts up to 20. 90% chance of rain Wednesday night, low 41. And an 80% chance of showers Thursday, mainly before noon, high 53, southeast winds 5 to 15, becoming west in the morning, gusts up to 20. 50% chance of showers Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low 35. And on Friday, rain and snow showers likely, 70% chance of precipitation, little or no snow accumulation expected, otherwise cloudy, high 47. Currently 56 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Coming up next, our weekly documentary from Making Contact. That'll be followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music begins at 7:30 with a Tuesday night grab bag. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
KRFP is supported by
Panhandle Artisan Bakery, baking naturally leavened bread using local ingredients. Panhandle Artisan Bakery is located at 630 North Almond Street, Suite 110, and panhandlebread.com.
KRFP is also supported by the Environmental Defense Institute, actively engaged with issues involving the Idaho National Laboratory, a Department of Energy nuclear site. EDI advocates for environmentally sound nuclear policy decisions.